It was great when I was 25.
What do you think is like biggest lesson that you learned from that relationship?
How is it being a stepmom?
To go for it. It's going to be fun.
It's probably not for you.
Childbirth was one of my favorite things that I've ever done.
I agree.
It should because be a there was a ring sitting on the
he got in his engine knee.
By the way, I'm pregnant with no no boyfriend.
Mom of two, a stepmom, entrepreneur, TV personality, influencer, blogger, and newly engaged. Welcome, Caitlin Carter.
Thank you.
To the Extra Stitch podcast. We're so happy to have you here today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I mean, we know you have so much going on in your life. So we have lots to talk about. Mm-hmm. Let's dive right in. So first of all, congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you. It was a total surprise.
I was about to ask.
Yeah.
How was it?
So we were at home in New Hampshire this summer. My mom was turning 60. So
that's
she
where you're
had,
from.
That's where I'm from. Okay. Yeah. And my family still lives there. So my mom was turning 60. And so we had family in town from both sides of the family. And then Chris's parents were there. And I guess he'd had the ring for a while, which also I had no clue. I was completely oblivious. I don't know how he did this. But his parents came into town and he decided that since everyone was there, it was the right time to propose. So he staged this whole car breaking down thing. Where I was actually at my parents' house. He went to, he said he was going to pick my brother-in-law up from work. But then he called me and said my dad's car was having issues. So he pulled over. And first of all, he was like a half a mile from the house. So I'm thinking, unless the car is on fire, I'm going to just go get it and bring it back to the house myself. Like, why is he being so weird about the car breaking down?
So good.
But when I got there, he walked me over to the front of the car to show me whatever was wrong with it. And there was a ring sitting on the,
engine compartment.
And he got, yeah, he did. It was very sweet, but a complete surprise. I was totally shocked. I was like fully in my mom's birthday party mode and totally surprised. And then I think because it was her birthday, we pretty much got engaged and then it was on to the party and I was completely just distracted from the whole thing. So I feel like I'm still absorbing being engaged.
When was it?
This was in August.
August, nice.
Yeah, it was August 5th or 6th. Mm-hmm. Because I guess maybe it was on the 6th because that was my mom's birthday.
Nice.
So I saw that little video you posted on Instagram. Mm-hmm. How did he set the camera? He knew exactly where he's going to propose to
you? So he pulled the car over and he went into the woods. Which, if you know anything about the woods in New Hampshire, you know there's a big risk of getting ticks on you. And he's terrified of getting a tick. And so he had gone out into the woods, which I know is a big risk for him, set up this camera. But I didn't notice the camera until after he'd proposed and everything. And then he had to run back into the woods to get the camera. And he came out. And he goes, can you check me for ticks? And I said to him, there's no way that you got a tick. He was running, like, throwing his legs up in the air, running out of the woods.
And he got
like, there's no way that you got a tick on you running around like that. And I looked down at his pants, and there was a tick crawling right up his leg.
Shut up.
And I didn't want him to freak out. So I was like, okay, well, actually, there is a tick on you. And so this is, like, all happening. You know, I'm like, we just got engaged. All my emotions are all over the place, and I'm trying to, like, make sure that he doesn't freak out about the tick, but we got it off.
Well, actually, I met Chris a little bit before I met you.
Right.
Yeah, and through our friend in common, Bradley, in New York. And when I heard that you guys got together, I was so happy for you because you genuinely feel like this perfect couple. You know, I feel
Thank you.
Just like flow so well together. So big congratulations on your engagement.
We're definitely not perfect, but I do think we flow very well together. I think we were very lucky.
No
to
one is
meet
perfect.
Right.
But you know, it seems like you guys work, you know?
Yes.
Like it seems like you get each other because you're so different.
Like, I feel like a lot of that is just life experience too.
Yeah.
We talk about that a lot, that if we had met at a different time in our life, that might not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But having been through so much in our personal lives, you know, he was married and had a really kind of ugly divorce experience.
Mm-hmm. He did?
And
okay. Good to know.
Yeah. And I did not have an ugly divorce, but I had been married and kind of, you know, learned what I wanted relationships to look like more.
It's a good
through
sign,
that experience. And so, and also just how to appreciate somebody for their really good qualities. I feel like everyone does this when they're younger, but I think I always used to look for a little bit more of a challenge. Yeah. And then by the time I had been through enough of those challenges, I was so ready for somebody good and somebody who just made life feel really happy and easy. Mm-hmm. And I think he was in the same position. You know, it was like, you just, there's less to fight about. All these things that don't really matter, you know, you can just kind of let go. And so I think that's been really helpful for us, is being able to really appreciate just the, like, little things and let go of the big thing, you know, let go of the things that just don't matter as much. And
such a cliche to say, right?
I know,
but
it's true.
So true. Like, I really, like, feel like that in the past couple of years. I'm like, it's just, like, living a moment and, like, just make this little moments with, like, your kids, you know? Like, forget about, like, the things that annoy you about
each other. Kids also really put things into perspective because you just have so much more appreciation for, I mean, especially with a supportive partner, you know? Yeah. It's like you're... All the things that you used to worry about just seem so silly in comparison to, like, little tiny moments with your kids and with your family. And it really just shifts your whole perspective.
And he seems like he's an involved dad, right?
He is very involved. Yeah. And I think I was also lucky to get to see that before I had kids with him. It was like I got a preview of what he was going to be like if we had kids together. And he was such a great dad and so hands-on. And he cared so much about spending so much time with his son. And he was just so creative and fun with him. I used to love all the different activities that they would do together. And so, and I could imagine what that would be like if we had kids of our own. So it was kind of nice to have that little preview. Because you never know what someone's going to be like as
really
a parent,
don't.
Really.
Unless they have a dog. And they really take care of it.
True.
I think me and Marina have a similar story with our guys that we kind of, I judge Bryant when I met him. First thing, he was so obsessed about his dog talking so much.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, he takes care of someone already.
Right.
So I'm sure when it's like kid, it's even more so.
Yeah, definitely. And it's actually kind of funny that you guys say that because Chris does not really love... He really likes cats, which I think is kind of interesting.
I'm a cat girl.
You are? See, I am not a cat person at all.
No.
I am not.
Yeah, I guess so. It's really funny because we were at my friend's house the other day, and they have a dog and two cats. And I'm like straight for the dog, you know, paying all attention to him. Chris gets the cat and is like hugging it. And what is wrong with you?
I can never imagine him as a cat person. I don't know why.
He likes cats. He's not that big into dogs. But yeah, it's kind of funny because my dog, I rescued him when he was a year and a half old, and it was 2 months before I met Chris. So he was pretty new to me when I met Chris. And so he was really young, but he was already past the point of learning about, like, you know, not going to the bathroom in the house and stuff. And he had never been properly trained. So I've always worked on that with him, and he's pretty good for the most part. But if we leave him at home and we all go on a walk together without him, he punishes us by going to the bathroom somewhere in the house. And it drives Chris insane because he's like, I don't even like dogs.
Same. I would say exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, in Russia, in Belarus, Eastern Europe, dogs live outside in, like, a little booth.
Yeah.
And, like, when I came here and, like, dogs, like, licking people's face. And then I'm like, that's disgusting.
I love it. Bring it on.
I love
all
it,
the
too.
Dogs.
I think it's so cute.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, it also depends on the dog for sure. But some dogs are just so cuddly and sweet and affectionate. And, yeah, I mean, I really feel for them. I don't know why. Cats are just too quick for me. They're they have claws.
They're independent,
too.
Yeah. They're just their own, like, life. Like, we're cool in one room, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think kittens are really cute. It's just something about when they become cats. They're just they're a little scary to me, honestly.
They're very independent.
They're so fast. And
unpredictable,
too. Unpredictable, yeah.
I agree.
Okay, I guess I can leave. You guys can continue.
But we're going to backtrack a little bit because we want to know about your upbringing. So you're born and raised in New Hampshire, East Coast, with three siblings.
Yep.
How was that growing up in such a big household?
You know, I'm always amazed because my parents, my dad... he had his own company from the time I was 5 or 6 years old, and he was able to become pretty successful with that company over time. But when we were really little, he had moved all the way from Florida. He and my mom moved all the way from Florida to New Hampshire because he was going to start working for this new steel company. And my understanding of the story, I might not be getting this 100% right, but the man he was going to work for had promised to make him a partner in the business. And then something happened along the way where he decided to go a different direction, and he basically just – told my dad, sorry, you're not going to become a partner anymore. And my mom was pregnant with my brothers, who are twins. So they were about to have four kids. And he was like, well, I can't stay at this job because, like, I'm not going to be able to grow in it. You know, he's not coming, he's not following through with what he had promised. So he decided to start his own company.
Wow.
So they had nothing when we were little. I mean, this is going to sound kind of dramatic.
Yeah.
But we had this porch off of our house that was like not supposed to be a four season porch, you know, but it was used as our playroom. So we would all just be like freezing all the time. And I mean, we were in New Hampshire in the winter and it was like, it was fine. I don't remember any of that from my childhood, but basically, you know, it was like they were living in kind of, mm-hmm. you know,
it was tough.
It was tough for a little while when we were really little, and my mom had no childcare or anything. And she had four of us and all of her family lived in Florida. So it was literally just her. You know, we talk about now, it's so challenging being a parent even when you have support and you have the help. My dad was working all the time to get this business going. My mom was home alone with the four of us with no family, no childcare, anything.
She had to clean.
She had to take care of the whole house. She said the blessing of having a really small house was that there was nowhere for any of us to go. So we were at least like stuck in one little room all the time. So she's like, it was actually great because she's like, I could see all of you. I knew where you all were at all times. Yeah. But I have only really good memories from my childhood. I obviously, you know, kids don't care about things like that.
You don't know. You know, when you're little, as soon as your parents love you and you have like that, like love, like,
yeah.
you don't know you're poor or you're rich.
Right.
Like, it kind of doesn't matter. As soon as
don't you know anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You just know like you love your parents and if they're good to you, then you're happy.
That's all that matters.
And and I loved my siblings and we had a great time just being creative and like playing pretend all the time. And then my parents, when I was 5 or 6 years old, moved to the house that they live in still to this day.
Nice.
And it was on this big farm property. So it had a ton of land. Yeah. But the only animals we had were dogs and chickens. They had fencing for horses, and I was always begging my parents for a horse, mm-hmm. but we never got one. I still, when I go there, I'm like, you guys should probably get some horses here now. But we lived in that house, and they just, over time, redid it and made it, you know, bigger. And we had a room in our house for a long time that is now the formal living room. But my mom never put anything in it for the first few years we lived there. And we would, like, build forts in that room. And we would run and slide across the floor. And she would, like, put us on fabric and drag us across the floor. All these fun activities that, you know, you totally love as a kid. And she's like, I'm not going to furnish this room when you guys are little and have you trash all of my nice new furniture.
No, for sure not.
So anyway, that's the house they still live in, and I love being able to go back there every year and take my kids now and
play. So you're like very close with your siblings to this day.
Yeah,
right?
Still very close. Mm-hmm. One of my brothers and my sister still live in New Hampshire, just down the street from my parents. And then my other brother is in New Mexico, and he's actually
and
having
twins.
A baby soon. Yes, they're twins.
And you have an older sister.
I have I'm the oldest. So my sister, my sister is a year and a half younger than me.
Oh, close by. And then twins. Pff, poor mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were all back to back too. So it was very
That's pretty
quick.
Cool though to have a big family like that.
Yeah. I think it was really fun. And my parents were just here for my son's birthday this past weekend. And we were talking about how well behaved all of my siblings always were.
Yeah.
Because I never remember anybody, like, we would go out to restaurants and eat, and I don't really remember anybody ever being out of control or crazy. And I was asking my parents, like, how did you do that? Yeah. How did you get us to act like that at restaurants?
For sure,
I don't know. My dad said he thinks it was just kind of everyone's temperaments.
Different times.
That it just sort of worked out. Yeah. I don't know. I need the secret.
So what brought you to LA? Because I don't really know much about you since, because we just met in Santa Barbara.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. I'll talk a little bit about my kind of professional background.
Yeah, exactly.
So I went to college in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And then from there, I actually had done all of my pre-med classes. I wanted to go to medical school.
What?
Yeah, I still would love to do that. But but when I graduated from undergrad, my parents said, okay, we've paid for all this for you. It's time for you to start supporting yourself.
So American, okay.
Yeah. So I had to get a job. And so I thought, okay, I guess I'm going to have to put grad school or medical school on hold for now. And I'll work and I'll save up some money and then I can do that. And then I got this job in finance and I worked for a big asset management company.
Oh my gosh, you're smart.
I was the assistant to the CEO of this big publicly traded company. And from there, I had to work out of Palm Beach, Florida, which I loved, London,
nice,
and Boston. So I wasn't doing this triangle. Depending on where he was, I would just travel wherever he was for work. And I did that for 4 or 5 years. And then I started to think, okay, I'm going to be 25 soon. And I would like to have some kind of personal life because I had nothing. You know, I like hadn't dated anyone the whole time because I was just constantly working. And so I started visiting one of my girlfriends out here in LA. She had gone to USC. So I started coming out here to visit her and I loved it out here. And then she invited me to go to the Casamigos Halloween party.
Casamigos, wow.
So this was in 2013, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
2012, 2013. And you were
25
at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, is that, yeah, 10 years ago, because I'm 35, mm-hmm. yeah. So it was 2013. And I went to the Casamigos party, and that's where I met Brody, who I ended up being with for a long time.
Okay.
And that was that. Like, I met him, and he invited me actually to come be with his family for Thanksgiving the next week. Like, I literally hung out with him one time, and I thought, oh, whatever, that was fun. You know, he's really handsome and whatever. And then he called me right after and was like, hey, I want you to come back out for Thanksgiving. I want you to meet my family.
Wow. You're like, what?
It was and I was like, this guy's crazy.
Huh? I called my mom and I was like, this guy's crazy. I think this is weird. And she was like, what are you talking about? You should go for it. It's going to be fun. And so I did. I came out. I met his family and they were all really lovely. And then that was kind of the start of us dating. And then I ended up moving out to LA about a month or two after that.
And how was that relationship for you?
It was, you know, it was great when I was 25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, going in, like, I was at a point in my life where I really, really just wanted to have a lot of fun. And I think I needed a partner in my life at that time who was on that same level, you know? And he and I always got along really, really well. So it was the perfect thing for that moment in time. But not very long into, and I feel like, I don't know if I've ever really shared this particular story, but not very long into our relationship, I went to Coachella with one of my girlfriends. And while I was there, he was calling me and he kept saying, we should have a baby together. You know, he was like very excited about our new relationship, clearly. And he started saying that we should have a baby together. And he really wanted to have a family and all this stuff. And I was like, no, not yet. You know, mm-hmm. we're still so young and I'm still having such a good time. And so I was kind of saying no. And then, but a year later, I started to think, okay, well, maybe this is, you know, maybe we're getting closer to that time and we should start talking about having a family and getting married and all of that. And by that point, he was now saying, well, I don't know, I kind of want to wait and, you know, have some more time with just the two of us. And then that ended up dragging on for several years. And I feel like in that process, while I was kind of waiting on him to be ready to have kids and get married, we both had things going on in our careers. I had started this fashion e-commerce platform with one of my girlfriends.
That was after the reality TV.
This was before.
Oh, it was before?
Mm, yeah.
Oh, wow, interesting.
This was before. Okay. So I started this fashion e-commerce platform, and we worked with influencers. This was really as Instagram was becoming monetized.
But it was, like, really the beginning of it, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, really at the beginning. So people were just starting to get paid for social media content. Mm-hmm. And so we would produce all of these campaigns for brands where we would take girls on trips and mm-hmm. produce content while we were on the trips. Or we would host, you know, seasonal houses where we would invite influencers to come stay and we would have them produce a bunch of content while they were there.
Wow, smart.
So I was working on that company and I got really, really involved and invested in that. And he had started DJing and he was working really hard at that mm-hmm. and he was starting to produce music. Yeah. So... Right. So we really had these two careers that were kind of getting going at the same time. So I feel like we started to kind of just go in our own directions mm-hmm. to an extent. And, you know, we would take whatever opportunities we could to, like, me. I would try to get on the road with him DJing sometimes, and he would come to a lot of the work things that I did. But I feel like in a lot of ways we were starting mm-hmm. to kind of go like this. And so a few years later, I think – I started to feel like, okay, what are we doing? We don't seem like we're getting any closer to being at a point that we would get married and have kids. So I kind of started to freak out. Because I think, you know, my mom was 25 when she had me. And so in my mind, 25 was how old I was supposed to be when I had kids.
Of course, it's always.
Even though now, you know, things are a lot different. But in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm way past 25. At this point, I was like, you know, 29 or whatever. And I was thinking, okay, I don't want to miss the opportunity to have kids. And it doesn't seem like it's really going anywhere. So I just kind of started to say to him, like, we're either doing this or we're not doing it. You know, we need to make a decision whether we're going to be together. And he said, yeah, you know, I don't want to not be together. But that's not the same thing as wanting to get married and wanting to have kids.
Yeah. So you never got married.
Well, we did. But so, okay, so what ended up happening was he finally, I kind of got to the point where I wish I would have listened to him a little bit better, because I feel like saying I don't want us to not be together and saying like I'd like to get married are not the same thing. And what I heard was, yeah, okay, like we'll get married, you know, and we can have kids. But the truth is that we probably should have never gotten to that place. Like, we should have never gotten engaged or gotten married, because that wasn't really what he wanted. He just didn't want us to break up. And I feel like that's one of the things that I feel like you can kind of only learn that by going through it. And now I'll have friends that are in a similar kind of situation, and I like and try to give them my two cents on it, but they really have to experience it for themselves, I think, to understand. There's this fixation on getting married. At least there was for me, and I feel like a lot of people are the same way, where it's like you're supposed to, you know, meet the person and then you get married and you have a family.
Yeah, I can relate to you, because I was married before as well.
You were? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was very, I can relate to you, because my mom had me when she was 21. So when I was like 21, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting like older. Like, you know, it's this something to your mind. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But even though looking back,
that's the person you look up to the most in the world. And you feel like you're sort of supposed to mimic the way that they lived their life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I got married. We didn't have kids. Like a few years, I was like, you know what? It's not working out, because I start having my own friends. I start going to Europe a lot for work, and like I was finishing school there, and he had his own thing going on. He was coming to LA actually a lot, because we lived in New York, and we kind of like grew apart. So yeah, it just like happened. So I can totally relate to you.
Right. Do you think also that, because one thing I kind of think now, I actually kind of think that no one should be even allowed to consider getting married until they're like 30.
I agree. It should
because
be a law.
When you're so much younger, you still have so much more developing to do that it's so hard to meet a person when you're that young who you're going to grow in line with.
It's really hard. I agree.
Like, it just doesn't feel like it happens that often that people grow in the same path or like
parallel.
You're still
figuring yourself out.
Right, exactly. And you still are when you're 32, I'm sure, for sure. But there's just something, I don't know, I feel like that window of time, there's so much change that
you just become wiser and you kind of know what you
I feel like you settle more into who you're going to be once you get closer to 30, and then I'm sure it just continues to go that way. But when you're 21 or you're 25, it's like you meet these guys that are awesome for that moment in your life. It seems like a great fit and it's perfect. I kind of had a similar situation with Brody, where I really wanted to have kids at that point, and he still was just kind of on the fence about it, or didn't even really want to.
Did he ever have kids?
He has one now.
He has one now.
Yes. But at the time, you know, I think I got really lucky in hindsight that I never got pregnant when I was with him, which scared me at the time, because I was like, what's going on? Why am I not, you know, why are we not having a baby? But I think it was like the universe's way of saying, like, this isn't the right person for you, because it would have just been so much more complicated, you know?
Yeah. You can go so against it and try things, and like, and everything seems like it just keeps pushing you away from that person.
Yeah.
Like, why it keeps happening? And then once you let the process happen, and you look back, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. It makes so much sense to me now, too, because even he just had a baby recently, and he seems extremely happy, and I feel like the person that he's with, I don't know her personally, but the you know, basic information I know about her, it seems like they must have a lot in common with like their hobbies and their lifestyle and the things they like to do. And just overall seems like a really good fit for him. And obviously I feel that way about Chris, that he's a really good fit for me. And we have so many things that we have in common that we like to do. And And I'm really happy that he's the father of my kids, you know, so it does totally just all come together the way it's supposed to.
But you still kind of cherish, right, the relationships you had with Brody.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say that I'm grateful for every relationship I've ever had because they all taught me things. And
what do you think is like biggest lesson that you learned from that relationship? Do you
take my relationship with him?
Yeah. Or just something you learn about yourself?
I would just say the biggest thing I would say is that if you feel like, and this is what I've said to other friends of mine now, if you feel like your relationship is a struggle on a daily basis and you're wondering if you could have a better situation,
it's probably not for you.
You can, you know, like that relationship is not the right relationship for you. And it's so scary sometimes to step out of something where you feel comfortable. But I for the longest time was like, oh, this is probably, you know, whenever we would be having a hard time in our relationship where I felt like it wasn't the right thing for me anymore, I would think, well, everyone has a hard time in their relationship, and this is probably just how everyone's relationship is. But now I know that that's not how every relationship is, and that's not how a relationship should be. You know, it shouldn't be two completely clashing lifestyles all the time and two completely clashing personalities and interests.
It's like, important to see what you can work on and what's actually...
Right, like what's fixable and what's not fixable.
And what's like, kind of,
I think if people are questioning, if you're ever questioning whether you should be moving on, then you probably should be. And it's more black and white, I think, than what people make it out to be in their head.
Right. They always like lie to themselves. Well, everyone has problems.
But yeah, right.
There's different kind of problems.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Like it's a sock on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's like...
it's yeah, like, it's true. It's like, is this like an annoyance or is this an actual problem?
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah,
it's true. The sock's on the floor. Does every guy do that?
Yes. Not my husband. My husband has the biggest OCD, and it's...
Brian, too, but that's, like, one thing he does all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of how Chris is, too. Mm-hmm. He's, like, very tidy in general and keeps the house really clean, but he will throw his socks anywhere.
Yeah, same
with
Brian.
It's so wild.
Underwear as well.
But in general, the clothes, they take it off, like, all together, and then put it in a whatever, on the floor, and then you have to, like, undo it, put it in a washing machine, like... Come on, take it one by one.
We had friends over to the house the other day, and I set up a little sprinkler thing in the lawn for the kids to run through. And our neighbor, who was over with her kids, had some of the towels that the kids had used in the front yard. And as she was coming inside, she goes, oh, where can I put these? And Chris goes, oh, just throw them out front, like in the driveway.
Like,
and I was like, no, I'll take them. Thank you. I'm going to take them to the laundry. I was like, thanks, Chris. You know who picks them up if you throw them out front? Me.
That's so funny.
This sounds about right.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so I see what the mentality is there.
Yeah.
So that's the battles that we should be battling, right?
Right,
but
yeah.
But like some of the more
serious... Yeah, that's
serious,
not a big deal.
Yeah. Other stuff.
Yeah, but that's a very, very good lesson. And I think a lot of like viewers, a lot of people will like learn something from that in your experience, you know? And then it just came in my mind. I remember watching one snippet of The Hills where you are actually telling Brody that you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
How was that? Because I feel like when I was watching, I felt every second of that.
Yeah. Well, it was very uncomfortable. First of all, I had already told Brody before we filmed that scene. Like, he was one of the first people I told because I didn't want him to be, you know, blindsided by it. I guess to backtrack a little bit, what happened was he and I split up in maybe June of 2019. And I met Chris in May of 2020, and we were together for a few months, and then we decided, like, we kind of got to a point really quickly where it was, because I had spent so much time in the past dating people who weren't really on the same page in terms of having kids and all of that, Chris and I got around to that topic very quickly, so I already knew that he wanted to have more kids, and we ended up pregnant with my son Rowan, or our son Rowan, 6 months into dating.
Wow.
So it was like, you know, a kind of like intentional, unintentional thing. I thought it was going to take a lot longer for me to get pregnant because I had never gotten pregnant before. And then it happened in the first month that we weren't using any kind of birth control. So it was kind of a surprise, but so I hadn't even really introduced Chris to anyone. And so it seemed, I think, very rushed to a lot of people that all of a sudden I was like bringing this guy on the show with me. And also Chris. Yes, okay. I brought, because Chris came and filmed some of the show with me,
so
because I didn't want to like.
Still going on. Sorry, I'm a little bit lost. Okay, 2020.
Okay, so Brody and I started filming the show together.
Okay.
When we were together.
Okay.
Then we split up.
Okay.
And because of COVID, the filming of the show got delayed a long time.
Okay.
So by the time we were filming the second season, so much had happened. He and I had split up. I had started dating Chris. And then I was like, well, I don't want to be filming this show by myself and be like, by the way, I'm pregnant with no boyfriend that anyone knows about or anything, you know?
Awkward.
Hello. Yeah. So anyway, I ended up, I called Brody like a couple days after I found out, after I had told my family and stuff. And I just told him. And, you know, to his credit, he was very like supportive and happy for me and all of that. But then we had to film it for the show, and it was just so awkward because a lot of the people there actually didn't know about it. A lot of the rest of the cast didn't know about it. So they were just kind of asking all these questions all weekend or like talking behind my back about thinking that I was pregnant, like, but they weren't saying anything to me. Right. Yeah. Wondering why I wasn't drinking or like why I looked different, because like the first thing that happened was my boobs got huge.
So everyone
was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And so I had already just been kind of being poked and prodded like the whole weekend that I was there. So by the time I had to have this conversation with Brody, I was so uncomfortable and just like, oh my God, I just can't wait to get this over with.
But you did really good.
Oh, thank you. Because I felt like a nervous wreck.
No, it was really good. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
But I felt every second of it.
Yeah, I was definitely stressed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the things, if you're going to make a reality TV show, you just like kind of have to be able to put it all out there. So I was actually glad that they were able to get some genuine content like that on the show, because I feel like so much of the rest of it was a little bit of a struggle to get anything real.
Do they have to script a lot? Not your particular TV show.
They don't script it per se, but they organize scenes. So it's like, okay, we're going to film at this and you guys are going to talk about these topics because they need to.
What about all the drama? Like, I just watched Selling OC. Don't judge, right? It's just my mom brain. Yeah. Like, but there's so much drama. They really fight, or it's like scripted, or I'm just like.
I think that those people really do fight. I think that because there were definitely people that were on our cast who were happy to fight with each other all day long. Yeah.
Nice.
But I think there were also a lot of other people who already kind of had big names, you know, on the show, and they didn't really need to put themselves out there like that. So they were pretty protective of themselves, and it made it really hard to create a good TV show, because if no one's willing to say or do anything,
or
then it's the show's just kind of boring. So,
and when did you stop filming that?
We stopped filming, I guess it would have been, so it was 2021, maybe like spring 2021.
And you were really pregnant at that time, right?
Yeah,
because I
was like 6 months pregnant by the time we stopped filming.
Okay,
yeah,
nice. So you had time to chill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then actually they tried to put a clip of me saying that I was pregnant in the trailer for the show.
Oh, wow.
And I hadn't even like announced it publicly yet. And so I was like calling them because I thought I was going to have the whole season of the show before it came out that I was pregnant on the show. Mm-hmm. And they put it right in the preview, right in the trailer before the show even came out. And I was calling everyone that night like, how could you do this? You know, you're taking away my opportunity to like tell my own friends and my own family, you know, because there were a lot of people I hadn't even told yet.
Wow.
And they ended up pulling it from the trailers. So it wasn't in there, which was like really, really nice because I know it was a huge hassle for them. But
at least they respect that.
Yeah, they were cool about it, which was
nice. That's nice of them, actually.
Yeah.
Well, tell me something. I've noticed that, you know, when you met Chris, you moved from LA to, you know, Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And how has that, like, affected your work? Are you, like, kind of really focused on your kids and family right now? You obviously are, I see.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I feel like there's definitely been a big shift in the type of work that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the brand campaigns that I do now are definitely more family-oriented, kid-oriented, which I actually prefer. I was never really the type of person who liked to go out and do, like, outfit photo shoots or anything like that.
Neither did I.
Yeah, it just is, like, very tedious to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I actually really enjoy being able to film more lifestyle type stuff and filming with the kids and, you know, because it's actually really fun. But I also am working a lot more with the American Wild Horse Campaign. And that, so it's kind of freed up some time for me to focus a little bit more on that. And I'm actually, they're having a big silent auction and event in Sonoma next weekend. So amazing. I'm going up there. Yeah, so I'm going to go up there and help out with that and just kind of like delve into things that I'm a little bit more personally passionate about. And of course, spending a lot of time with the kids. But then we also bought a house. And it's the first house we ever bought.
A lot of renovations, right?
A lot of renovations, but it did have some really beautiful original features that we were able to maintain or restore. Like all the hardwood floors throughout the house were beautiful and in amazing condition. And I found out after we bought the house that the reason that they were in such good condition was because the man who lived in the house before us was a hoarder. Which I didn't know because they had cleaned up the whole place by the time we we first looked at it. So the neighbors have told us that, of course, the floors are in great shape because there was so much stuff sitting on top of them for so long that they never got walked on.
Wow.
So they were in, like, perfect condition.
Wow.
Yeah, we've learned all kinds of interesting things about the house. I guess the man who lived there was – everyone loved him, and he was quite a character, but – he was a hoarder and he just had stuff everywhere incredible. And there was a jungle in our front yard. So, yeah, we've just been grinding away at that house. And
well, you're Chris pretty handy with a house. I've seen
Chris
you like
is. Chris is. Okay. I'm somewhat handy with a paint sprayer.
I've seen or that a paintbrush, on Instagram. Yeah.
But that's kind of, I'm kind of always waiting around twiddling my thumbs, waiting for Chris to finish whatever woodwork he's doing so that I can paint. Cause it's like the only job I can really do.
What I really wanted to know is how is it being a stepmom? Because I know a lot of my girlfriends, you know, who actually stepmom, they say that it's, they really don't feel appreciated. But I don't know, maybe it's very different from you, that relationships where I feel like you can't really discipline in a way you discipline your kids. You have
That's the one thing that I would say for me is a little bit of a challenge, but I would definitely say I feel appreciated. I feel very lucky that Charlie, who's my stepson, he's the sweetest kid ever. And he's just like by nature a very affectionate and loving person. So he's always been super sweet to me, which I feel very lucky because I know that can definitely not always be the case. And we definitely have a lot of fun together. I do think that one of the most challenging things, definitely when it comes to discipline, not that he needs a ton of it, but there's just things about, you know, the way that his mom and dad do things with his parenting that like I would do a little bit differently with you know me and Chris's kids, and I can't really I don't feel like it's my place to have that input, so I try to kind of stay out of that. But then of course it's like a little bit hard to try to go by someone else's rules when you're parenting another child.
It's tricky.
So I feel like what's been helpful to me is to kind of maintain, you know, not that I'm like just his friend, but I kind of try to keep it more in that realm where I'm like an adult, you know, role model and figure in his life, but not as much of a parent because I don't know, he has two parents and I feel like our relationship works pretty well like that. But of course, if there's ever anything that I feel is like really not working, I'll talk with Chris about it. And, you know, we have definitely have our own rules in our own house as well.
And how is the, you know, the older son with two little ones? Is he bullying them or he's
He loves them.
Nice.
Which we got very lucky with also because, you know, he was an only child for so long and I guess it could have really gone either way. But I also think because he was six when Rowan was born, almost seven, I think that having that big age gap, he was old enough to like really appreciate getting to have a little brother, and they're best friends. They say they're each other's best friends, and they do. Charlie actually asked if he and Rowan could share a room together when we moved into the new house. Because he was like, I still want to stay in the same room as Rowan, and they got bunk beds. So
that bed is so good, by the way.
Thank you. Really nice. Rowan can't sleep in the bunk beds yet because he's still too little, but, you know, slowly. So it's very cute because they have their, like, boys' room, you know, and they really love being there together. She has her own room, of course, and you know, she's still so little. Yeah. Rowan is obsessed with her. He wants to hold her every day. He comes over and asks if he can hold her at some point during the day. And he, I'll, you know, he'll sit down on the couch and hold her for 2 seconds. And then he goes, "All done."
Like, holds her for 2 seconds. He's like, "That's good."
He's like, "Got it. Okay, that was all I needed for today.
I got my love fix."
But yeah, Charlie, I feel like his relationship with Rowan really kicked in when Rowan was like around one, when he started kind of being able to like walk and play a little bit more, and it's just only grown from there. And so I feel like the same will happen with Willow, because she's 7 months old right now, so she's still doing a lot of just like laying around and rolling around. But I feel like once they get to one, it becomes so much more fun for everyone.
Your little ones look just like you.
You think so?
I don't see Chris at all. Like, I look at you now.
They look a lot like you, I think. Yeah.
I think Willow especially looks almost identical to what I did as a baby. Yeah. Rowan, I don't know. I don't think he necessarily looks like me, but I don't know who he looks like. I think he looks a lot like Chris's mom in some ways. Chris thinks he looks just like my dad. And he has a nose that I've never seen. I don't know whose nose it is. It's so funny because Willow has the same nose as me. Rowan's nose. I'm like, what? Where did this come from? Whose nose is this? Nobody
Someone
knows.
Someone in the family.
Yeah, somebody, but no one.
So Rowan is 2 years old and Willow is 7 months. 7 months. So they're like year and 3 months apart.
Yes.
Did you guys do on purpose? Like, did the
No. Not at all. It was literally, we were trying really hard to not have another baby because we were like, you know, we want definitely more of an age gap. And then my best friend came down from LA one night and we drank a bunch of margaritas and we were singing karaoke in our garage.
That's how I got pregnant every time.
And that was how we got pregnant with Willow.
It's always tequila.
It was literally like
tequila,
one
boom,
night.
Baby.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, that's how it was both times.
Both pregnant babies. Yeah. Well, for me, it was dirty martini, baby. Yeah. Dirty martini, baby.
For us, it was just wine.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. But there's always alcohol in there somewhere, I guess. Sure. Yeah, so they were both, you know, surprises. But Willow especially was a surprise. But I feel like at the right now, honestly, it's so chaotic. I'm very overwhelmed with having two. But I think that I'm hoping in, like, a few more months when she's a little bit more capable of, like, sitting up and playing by herself, and then when she's able to walk, I think it'll be really fun because we can take them to do more things together, you know?
So I have 2 year gap, so it's a little
bit similar. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Now my daughter is four and G is almost two, so it's almost two and almost four now. They're wild. They play together, you know?
Yes.
But beginning, like, 7 months, I was struggling.
Yeah, like when you have a baby still really attached to you all the time because it's
so
hard.
And the other baby wants
to,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you're lugging either a car seat or a stroller, and then you have the toddler. So I'm definitely looking forward to the two and four, I think, where they both can play together
and
more.
And also what I struggle is when you get out of the car, like one is like you have to like hold, you know.
Oh, I know. It's really scary.
It's so scary. Once, like once you run on the road and like the girl almost hit her, I was like, oh my God. And
it's
like,
super scary.
It's really like, two is, Ginta's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really think I would go anywhere with the two of them alone if I had to be anywhere where there was like a parking lot or anything like with a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Because that is very scary.
Very scary. No,
are you guys talking about having a second anytime soon?
We are. We actually recently started talking, but even though we're like, oh, should we wait? Like, so then I'm like, you know, 3 years apart or like four?
Yeah.
Or something.
I think I think if I was to do it again, I would have there be maybe like a tiny bit more gap. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's just like having a baby and toddler in general. That's probably kind of hard. So maybe it's like do it whenever. And then, you know, you just have that first rough year.
I think it's all hard, you guys. If it's five and a baby, it's hard. If it's two and a baby, it's hard.
Well, but Charlie was old enough that he, I feel like, has been pretty self-sufficient and like he has not been like, I wouldn't say he contributes to any of the baby stuff that's hard, you know what I mean? It's like yes, we definitely want to make sure we're doing activities that he still finds enjoyable, but luckily he also really just enjoys playing with any age kids, so it's kind of, I don't know, but so I don't think you want to wait that long. You don't want to have like a
five
or 6 year old before you
long.
yeah
for sure. I think it's just like three. Me and my brother, we are 5 years apart.
Okay.
And I almost feel like that's like the last bit. But very close.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
But I'm the oldest one. But I think it was vice versa. Probably wouldn't be the
maybe
same
not
movie.
As close.
Yeah,
because you probably helped kind of mother him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
So I think that played a role. But we're like talking a little bit now, like a little bit more than before.
Yeah, because your son is just slightly younger than Rowan, or slightly
he's
older.
Two and almost 3 months.
Okay, so he's a couple months older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew they were very close. I just didn't remember which order they were born in. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's really tall. If you did now, you'd probably so he'd be almost like three by the time.
So I think should be fine.
So chop chop, Dinta.
So how your pregnancies were different from one another?
So my pregnancies with Rowan, I gained a ton more weight. And I don't know if that was because he was a boy and Willow was a girl or what, but I gained 53 pounds with Rowan. I gained 32 with Willow. So it was like very different in that sense. I also was much more nauseous with Willow, which I guess people say is another
because of the girl.
I was nauseous my whole pregnancy with two girls.
With two girls,
the whole pregnancy.
Yeah, it's the worst feeling.
The boy was so fun.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really have any nausea. But then I also got really depressed at the beginning of my pregnancy with Rowan because of whatever my hormones were. And then that didn't happen with Willow, but then I got postpartum after Willow and I didn't get postpartum after Rowan. So it was kind of interesting, like the way, I don't know if it's the way the different hormones fluctuated in each pregnancy, but I had like different experiences with that. And then my delivery with Rowan was 23 hours. And I had to push for 3 hours with him.
Oh my gosh.
Like they almost told me, they were telling me I needed to get a C-section and I was like, no, I'm going to make this happen.
What hospital
then,
were you?
I was at Hogue in Newport.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which it's great. It was a beautiful hospital. And I had both my kids there. So I've had great experiences both times. But it was 23 hours with Rowan, 3 hours of pushing with Willow. I was at the hospital. I was induced with both because they were so big.
That you were big, I remember.
Yeah, they both were. They were going to be over 9 pounds if I waited till their due date. So I was induced a week early with each, and they were both 8.5 pounds. So they were big babies. Mm-hmm. But with Willow, I was there, and I wasn't really progressing that much. I was like stuck at 5 centimeters, and so they told me they were going to break my water, and they were waiting for my doctor to be out of a surgery because they were like, once we break your water, she's going to come really fast. And I was like, okay, there's no way she's going to come that fast. Like the surgery is going to be over in 20 minutes. But they said they wanted to wait for my doctor to be out. And 5 minutes later, I was just sitting in the room hanging out with Chris, and we were talking about baby names, and my water broke on its own.
Oh, amazing.
And so it broke on its own. But then I was like, okay, well, I guess it's going to get, you know, things are going to pick up a little bit. The nurse came in the room, and she was like, I'm just going to, like, check you and see. And so I had gone from 5 centimeters
to 10 centimeters
in, like, 2 minutes. And she was like, oh, the baby's head is right here. And I could feel, like, the pressure, you know, when it's time to start pushing.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, well, your doctor's not out of surgery yet, so we need you to just – she'd have me lay
just
on my side.
Back in. Hold it.
And I was like, she's going to fall out on the floor. Like, I really thought she was going to fall out on the floor. So I was like, I need you to stand right here with me because I think the baby's just going to fall out. And she's like – she was kind of laughing at me, like, she's not just going to fall out on the floor. But that's what it felt like, you know? I was like, it's going to happen.
It's so much pressure, though.
It is, like exactly. I was like, how am I supposed to keep this baby inside me for 10 minutes? And so anyway, I stayed on my side. The doctor came in the room. I literally pushed one time, and her head was out. And then the second push, her whole body was out.
Amazing.
And that was it. So I went from, like, 5 centimeters dilated to 15 minutes later having her in my hands.
And you had epidural, so you didn't.
An epidural, yeah. Okay. I was going to try it. The first, with Rowan, I never really felt like I needed an epidural.
Yeah.
But I got freaked out at 8 centimeters and was like, you know, Chris actually was like, well, what if it's really painful? And when you're pushing and you decide you want one, and I was like, yeah, you're right. So I got one. So with Willow, I was going to try to do no epidural. But they put me on Pitocin, which I had never had before. And I was like, nope. I'm going to need an epidural because it
Once
got
you have
so
Pitocin,
intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot with the Pitocin. So anyway, they were like two very different births and pregnancies. But I also feel like I was very lucky because like childbirth was one of my favorite things that I've ever done. Do you love it too?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I literally want to.
It's so cool.
It's so,
like
it's
I would have another baby just to like, go through childbirth.
I know. No, totally. I'm with you, girl.
It's just so amazing.
It's like time stops, that moment, and you're just like overwhelmed with emotion.
Yes.
You like can't say a word. Like,
and you're totally in your own world. Uh-huh. It's like you're just there, and you have this, you know, 24 or 48 hours, however long you're in the hospital, mm-hmm. where it's like just you and your baby and your partner, and you're like, you know, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, it is like time stops.
I don't know what's happening to me, but ever since I had Axel, I'm so emotional. I'm about to cry now.
Oh, you were just thinking about yeah, it. It's just oh, so beautiful. It's so sweet. Well, because you know what that experience is mm-hmm. like, and it is really, it is, it's so special to be able to experience that. And yeah, I would seriously, I don't really want to have another baby.
You're like, I would just give a delivery.
Yeah, I'll just deliver one.
Just deliver some baby.
Maybe I'm like on a path to surrogacy or something. I don't know.
Hopefully not.
No, I mean like doing it for other people.
Like
just to like have the babies.
I'm sure Chris would be happy about it.
I know. Yeah, that would be a little rough, like everyone having to deal with me being pregnant all the time with the little kids running around. But
the hormones and
but like I really did love childbirth like mm-hmm. that much. Like,
so you enjoyed your pregnancies as well, and your
I didn't love my pregnancies.
You didn't love your pregnancy,
no,
but you liked
but I
delivering.
Love the birth process. Yeah, mm-hmm. My pregnancies, I just felt like I don't know, I could just do without them. I just didn't really feel like myself the whole time. Yeah. You know, like I never yeah. felt really like super connected with my baby or anything really? Like that, which I know a lot of people really do. Yeah, I never really felt like mm-hmm. that, but I definitely felt that way about childbirth. I just thought it was so magical and so, I don't know, it's like the coolest thing ever.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
I know you,
you
have to
guys.
Run to
this
your
was such
babies.
A fun conversation. We really could.
So
I can
nice.
See why I went on
yeah.
for so long with
yeah,
because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah. We even
thank
would
you
have
guys
more
for
questions.
Having me.
Yeah.
I know.
We have so many more questions. Look at this.
Sorry. I'll come back for part two. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys. Sorry. I know the kids are at home, but
it was
I really
amazing.
Appreciate you having me.
You know,
and best of luck with everything you do.
And it was great to see you too mm-hmm. and get to like, you know, actually talk about things a little bit more than I feel like we have in the past.
And it was fun to get to know you on a deeper level too.
Yeah, I feel like that also.